Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hello there, everybody out in internet land. This here is Russ from RST Coaching Academy in Daytona Beach, host of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. I'm online here with my friend Dean Morgan from Dallas, Texas. I can't wait to hear his story because he's been around the block in the business world for some 30 plus years, and he's probably got a whole bunch of insight and stories to tell us in this brief time that we're together today. So I just want to turn it over to Dean. Thank you, Dean, for coming on today and spending some time with us to chit-chat a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing and what you hope to be doing perhaps and stuff. So introducing to you, go for it and tell us how you got into all this stuff of healthcare company, commercial insurance, real estate company, and so on.
Well, we started back in the 80s when I got basically my insurance and real estate license. But it started out with insurance. We did health and life, and back by 84. And then from there, we went to we got involved with the property and casualty in 88. A friend of mine got me involved with that. And so after we started doing that, he taught me how to do the insurance business for property and casualty. But that's when I was like 28 years old then. How I really learned the insurance business wasn't so much the producer, but the underwriter. And so when you're an insurance agent, the key is the underwriter. It's not the person who teaches you. It's the underwriter. You have to learn from the underwriter.
And they're the one that makes the final. They're the one that makes the final decision as to whether the policy is going to be covered or not, aren't they?
Yeah, they go over the situation or whatever kind of insurance it is. Just, you know, all kind of, we were just doing auto back then. Okay. So and then I get on the phone with them and talk to them about how do I do this and how do I do that, and then they come up and say, okay, well, you really should do this and you really should do that, or you should not do this, you should not do that, and then they did some finagling. I said, why did insurance come finagle? This one particular, I won't name the company, but I asked him. I says, she said to me, you want to do some insurance? Don't tell me what the you don't have to write down how many accidents or tickets they've got, because we don't care. So you don't care. So well, we don't. In other words, we don't pull the records. I'm like, what? I says. So whenever the customer tells you, that's what we do. This is back in the 80s now. I mean, It's changed since then. But, well, taking advantage of the situation, I said, okay, well, I'll write everybody with zero accidents and tickets and write a cheap policy. So anyway, we did that. And, of course, unfortunately, because of the underwriting and because of the loss ratios, they went out of business. I mean, so that's not my fault, but we did make a lot of money with that program. Due to the fact that you finagle, they allowed me to finagle. The reason I mean bringing that up is because the underwriter is the key to insurance business. In fact, if you get to know the underwriter, they will basically teach you how to sell the product. Over the years, even at the time, when I was doing auto insurance, I have everything memorized. So back in those days, this was before, it's pre-computer, so there's no computer. So you have these little booklets, you write down the information, this and that. So you go through, as okay, the down payment is, the monthly payment is, and that's it. How old are you? And are you on the phone? And then of course, we came up with beepers. Remember those beepers?
Oh, yeah.
So I got to call this guy. And then the guy said, let's do a lot of dealership business. So we did a lot of dealership business. And then finally, I said, all right, I figured all that out. And then I said, okay, I got it all down pat. And then so since I know it that quickly and I have it memorized, I'm able to get the sale after one, after the other, after the other. And so about 8 months into it, my friend and I, you know, He went his way, I went my way, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. So I started doing this thing. All of a sudden, the first month out, I wrote like, I don't know, 60 policies. It was in February,
Wow.
which was cold. It was a cold month, but February 1988, or no, yeah, 1988,
Now this was in Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah, this is
Okay, you'd
Dallas.
been there already. Yeah.
Yeah, we moved here in 81.
Okay. How did you get all the names and contacts in your pipeline to close 80 to close 60 sales that month?
Well, I was hustling the dealerships at the time.
Okay.
So, because the dealerships didn't have anybody servicing those people.
Oh.
So I went to all the dealerships in town and passed out my cards and basically just schmooze with them, and basically I was with them every day. I mean, literally 7 days a week. There was no Some of the dealerships were open every day. And so I was like, okay.
All
So
right.
back in those days, I called myself D. Morgan Insurance. And so I was the number two in the whole Dallas area at the time, even though I only had one location at the when I first started off. But it's still I was that's how big I got real quick. And I did the radio and the TV and over the years. And my mother helped me out, and then my brother helped me out. So we opened up an office in Carrollton, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas,
Wow.
and then we just everything Texas, and then of course Dallas and Irving. And so we did all that, that was back in the 90s. And then, in the interim, I also was a real estate broker at the time.
How'd you
So,
get into that?
that was my first passion when I first got here to Dallas. So I started learning the real estate trade. So I got the real estate license, and then I'm not that great at taking tests. So it took me, 4 times to pass it, but I got through it. And then, I took the broker's license test, and 4 times I passed that one, got through that. And so then I had the real estate license all those years, and I pretty much, I did okay with that, but my primary money was with the insurance, the auto insurance back then. And we were
Well, it
making
sounds like you were really hustling in that arena to get in contact with all these auto dealers and then ultimately open up multiple offices. So you probably were working the auto dealers in these other towns that you had offices in as well, huh?
Oh yeah. We
Yeah.
were hustling from one end to the other. But I had to go fly to Houston and take care of them. I had to fly to San Antonio. My father-in-law was running at the an office out there, so I had to fly out there. So yeah, it was a lot of fun doing the flying around. And then, but my mother was ha handling the main office at the in Dallas, and so I could do this flying around. In the interim, we had when I do the real estate stuff. I don't have much time to do the real estate stuff, so I want to hire some realtors to do the real estate stuff, so I don't have to worry about doing that. I you can't do anything that well unless you focus on one thing. And my wife calls me ADD man, because I'm going from one place to the other. So now I decided, you know what, I'm just my focus was insurance, because that's where I made the millions of dollars that I made in the business. I didn't make as much in real estate. But then a friend of mine came up to me and says, we're opening up a mortgage company, and can you help me with that? I said, okay, sure, why not? So I got myself for 6 or almost 7 years. I opened up a Texas mortgage company, and we did that for, he did the mortgage stuff. I oversaw what was going on there, and I did a few more mortgages in between all that. So I was doing the mortgage and the real estate and the insurance. So sometimes I would go to the title company and they'd laugh. Who's the mortgage company? I says, me. Who's the insurance company? Me. Who's the realtor? Me. Just hand me all the checks. Give me all
Yeah,
the
give me all the dough.
checks. He's like, they thought I was kidding. I says, no, I'm not kidding. I have it all covered.
Well, do
So,
they like that, dealing with one entity for all of those different parts?
oh yeah, it's much easier. And then I had a regular attorney that I always use for my closings. And so, hey Dan, here you go. Here's your money, or whatever. I'll see you later.
Wow, we
I mean, it was
man.
pretty
So
crazy back
you.
then.
Going back to the insurance thing, which you started with an auto and then developed the organization, basically, no doubt you were right front line sales back in those early days. But then as you started to grow and, open up other offices and so on, did you find yourself doing less of the selling and more of the administrating, following up and overseeing, the salespeople and that? So you're
I
getting
did.
kind of out of the selling game yourself and into the oversight and administration. Did you like that transition?
Not really. I always liked the sales myself. I mean, I'm good at running businesses and I'm good at it and I'm pretty successful at it. But the thing is, I feel better at selling. Is I've always been able to like talk like talking to you. Hey, how's it going? It's easy to talk to people and so on for me anyway. I mean, so I prefer that. But in the meantime, when you let somebody else handle the sales and you're the best one, the sales drop. I mean.
Unless they are clones of yours that you
Right.
have literally trained them to be a mini you, so to speak, right?
But even so, it's so hard to find people. I mean, really like me. I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, because I'm really fast. I'm easy. I say I'm like this. I say, how you doing? What's going on? Your down payment is your monthly payment is. I need a credit card. I mean, it's as fast as it it's as fast as it goes. I mean that's it. And I get the credit card. I give them what they want, and they're happy. I mean, in real estate business, I came up with a program we had to deal with called a second lien note purchase. And second lien note purchase was a program that through CNS Mortgage, which is no longer in business. It was what we did was back then we took a house. Remember the FHA and VA stuff back then? All right, so you assume the first lien, all right, for like $50 or $45, whatever it was. And then you create a second lien, and you purchase a second lien. The investor purchases a second lien, and then it pays off the investor. And then after that, the house is his. But the only problem is the second lien mortgage is just something you just grab. So in other words, you have the first lien, you assume the second lien. Okay, here's a piece of paper. Now that's the second lien. The investor over here or the second lien company is going to buy that piece of paper at a discount. And so creating the anomaly of what they call it, no money down. So back in those days, they didn't have no money down. So this was a way of getting no money down. The problem with the program was that it was a 3-year balloon on it. And after 3 years, you couldn't refinance it unless you showed that you paid a down payment. That was the downfall.
Wow,
And
yeah.
then shortly after that, the whole country decided to do no money downs. And guess what? Everything imploded. I mean, so the whole concept of no money down, giving no money down to the people who have bad credit is not a good idea.
Yeah,
So that
quite.
made it very difficult. Now, in this program, you're supposed to have good credit anyway. But I mean, but so a lot, some of the people just couldn't afford it, and they said, "I'm on a $300,000 home," but they really only could afford a $150,000 home. So even though their credit's good, they couldn't afford it. Their eyes are big. Wow, fancy home, but they couldn't do it. So.
Yeah, man, is that kind of what was happening back in 2007 and 8, where the easy purchase of a house with, little or nothing down, and people were getting overextended upside down from day one, basically, right?
Well, that's why all the banks imploded. And then, in fact, I was talking to some banks. I was buying some properties because the properties were giving them away. Back in those days, there was a program online. I was trying to buy some property, and they said, "How much this costs?" I said, "Well, you can buy this house for $3,000." Just $3,000? That's it? Yeah. I was like, "What's wrong with the house?" "Well, there's a lot of things wrong with the house, but it's just $3,000." I was like, "So I bought the house for $3,000." This was in St. Louis. And then I talked to the bank, and the bank says, "Well, we have a stack of houses this big. How many do you want?" I'm like, "Really?" So I talked to them, and then I talked to another bank, and I talked to another bank. All of a sudden, these banks are throwing houses at me like they're nothing. Detroit, for example, they call me. "I got 2 blocks of Detroit for free. Well, would you? Here's all the deeds. Would you like them?" I said, "No."
Wow. Were these foreclosures or what? The
Yeah, they're just
banks had
houses
picked
that
them
were
up and
foreclosed.
they're
Yeah,
trying to unload
on the
them.
bank's desk, on the banker's desk, they couldn't do nothing with them. But you still got you got your fines, you got your squatters, you got your taxes due. These are all still due, but you got a here. I'll give you the houses for free. It's all you can fix them up or do whatever you want with them. Like, No,
Did
I had another guy call me a bank. He says, "I got $700,000 house worth of houses. I'm gonna give it to you for $76,000." No, I don't want all those properties. It was 100 and something properties. I said, "No, I don't want all that." I mean, you got people think, "Okay, oh, getting that property for no money down." I mean, reserve is zero, was complete zero, but that's not zero. You get taxes are due, fines are due, this
And
and
they
that,
were all vacant.
and they're all vacant. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if you're wanting to
Back
get into the rental business, be a cheap way to start, but then you've got to populate all these houses with tenants, don't you?
not just that, you got to fix up the property.
Because
And
they
right
destroyed it.
now, and there's not, and they, and at that particular time, remember back then, they didn't have any, there's no loans. The banks are all having problems with the, you have to borrow money to stay open. So they're not loaning money out to anybody. So you can't get anybody to buy the properties or flip the properties to, because there's nobody loaning anything. So I'm stuck with properties you can't do nothing with. And if you wanted to do a Section 8 or something like that, good luck with that. I mean, then you have to go through all the process of each area and this and that and this and that. And then if you want to put money into the property, like copper and stuff like that, people are stealing copper out of those properties as soon as you put them in there. So it's just like, what are you gonna do? The concept was great. Go get a house with no money down. Well, or no money at all. Yeah, well, that's great. These houses I bought in Chicago, they're, 2,000, 3,000 square foot homes for $1,500. I'm
Wow.
like, how can you get properties for that cheap? Well, I did, but I couldn't do nothing with them. And then I would have to, I have to put a new roof on it to sell the thing, because the roof is, it was messed up. And or some of these houses were in Chicago, or 1895 they're built. I mean, just sitting there not doing anything. And remember the greens and the pink color they had in those houses? I mean, that's pretty crazy. That's like, but
Man, oh man, are banks still doing stuff like that today? Do you know of?
not that I'm aware
No.
of. Well, mortgage company. I actually own a bank, or I'm a member of a bank here at Texas Security. So I got into the banking thing too. So I have that as well. Just one of the shareholders, but there was like a pre-IPO thing. I got into that.
Okay.
Getting back to the insurance business, we'll switch back to insurance. So now presently, we're into commercial insurance. So we ended up in 2001 with the when the buildings fell, all the offices went silent. I mean, unfortunately, for 6 8 months, everything, all the business was busy. All of a sudden, everything went silent. So I mean, I lost a lot of people. Had to kind of start over again. So you went from, going from one extreme to the other. You make $35,000, $40,000 a month to making $5,000 or $6,000 a month. And went one extreme to the other, insurance business, by 2001. And then 2005, I attempted to work for Allstate for like a little over 14 months. And good company to work for. I mean, they were nice people and all. But what they didn't tell me was that you had to pass a Series 6 and 63, which I'm not good at passing those kind of tests. And I was unable to do that. So we parted ways after that. I said, enough of this. So
What was your specialty going to be with Allstate?
we were just doing the auto. The reason I went to
Okay.
Allstate was because, well, auto home thing, was because they said, they promised me we can transfer some of the DeMorgan insurance over to the Allstate, but they lied.
Oh.
I talked to the CEO of Allstate. They said, "We don't want that garbage." I'm like, okay. Well, then why did I even sign up with you guys?
Yeah,
So,
right. Wow.
they kind of lied,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
So
But we,
what happened to the DeMorgan insurance conglomerate?
well, I decided to close that part of it,
Oh.
and then open it up under my wife's name, and then we did started the commercial out of the home.
Okay.
My father-in-law in San Antonio, he worked his deal, and then he passed away not too long ago. But he worked till he was about 75, and then he had enough of that, and then we closed that up. There was one in Houston. Now, in the interim of all this, I also owned a consulting firm. And in the consulting firm, and this was back in the 97, 98, somewhere around there. It's called K&M Insurance Consultants, and I got a phone call from my partner. He said, we got a company, an insurance company that needs you to do the auditing of the chargebacks of the insurance company. This insurance company is called North American, and North American was a auto insurance company, the MGA they call it here in Carrollton, Texas. And they wanted me to go in there and fix it. I'm like, which I was good at that. I said, okay, I'll fix it. I charge them X amount of money, blah, blah, blah. Well, what happened was that particular place was not being managed by proper people. In other words, you can't run an insurance company with a part-time accountant and a part-time consultant. And then the MGA that had the MGA license, he was AWOL. He was in Houston somewhere doing something else. And so no one's paying attention to this business. So the business was going to hell in a handbasket. And so I went in there and I cleaned the house. The owner was in Chicago and he called me. He says, Rogers, he says, Dean, I need you to run the show. You need to run the show? I've
Well, I'm
got
running
these
an
other,
insurance company.
I got to run an insurance company and I got to do that and run all my agencies. My wife, she we I got her into the retail aspect of it, and so we own three retail stores called Wild at Heart, and so we got that going for 13 years, and so she was running that. I was overseeing that. She also had a painting company. She was helping one of her tenants out, so she was running a painting company plus the three retail stores, and I was running the insurance, real estate, and then mortgage business, and then consulting business all at the same time.
All in the same day.
All the same day, all the same day, yeah. And then back in 2005 and 2006, I got into the commercial end of it. Took me about a year to figure out how to make money with it. And basically, it's multi-state. So back in the day when I first started, we just did Texas. Now you can have a license in 50 states. So
Wow.
you,
And
so you can
commercial.
do that's commercial. Well, no, you
Yeah.
can or commercial or auto. You can
Oh,
do
really? Okay.
50 states in either one, but so we basically did that, and then we branched out but state-wise on the internet. So everybody's been internet-based. So you start out making a little money, and then you start making a lot of money, and then you know it starts growing just like the auto insurance did the same aspect.
Right.
And then now you're going to ask me about the healthcare aspect. Okay, so
Yeah.
back in about 12 years ago. I just thought to myself, what if I do something about healthcare? What can I do? What can I do? I know I'm going to make a healthcare program. I said, how do I do that? And they were talking about Obama was talking about doing a healthcare program, but Obama isn't in the healthcare business, so he doesn't have a clue. So I said, well, let me write up one that I thought maybe would work. So I wrote out the healthcare program. And then I looked at it and said, this is too complicated for me to do this by myself. I mean, I'm just a one little guy, and I guess this is a big thing. So it was called the National Morgan's National Co-op. So I guess what I faxed it to Obama himself in Chicago, and not thinking he would use it. About maybe 2 months later, on CNN News, they said, Morgan's National Co-op is blah 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 blah. It's like, are you kidding me? You're really kidding me, right? So Obamacare is mine. Basically, they took my program and they commingled it with the governor of Massachusetts, his program. But the aspect of you see all those little clinics all around the towns, that's all mine. All the everything's based on taxes, everything's based on the insurance companies. Now, I didn't do the insurance company part because I wanted to get away from insurance companies, because
I see.
insurance companies and also hospitals overcharge for everything, as everybody knows.
Because
So
of the
I'm thinking,
insurance will pay the bill,
yeah,
right?
but the well, but I'm saying is, when you go to the hospital, you go to get an MRI, it costs you $5,000 or $10,000 if you go to a hospital to get it done. You go to a clinic, it costs you $350. I mean, so I decided recently to change it up. So he was called Obamacare or healthcare.org. Mine is healthcare SMC. com, and that program is called Standard Medical Co-op. So in other words, we're doing concierge medicine only, getting away from the all the insurance companies entirely, and just do doctor patient only. It could be any doctor and any patient together, and and we do a co-op where they can go from one to the one doctor to the other. The doctor gets paid every month regardless, because that's how concierge works. And back in the day, the rich usually have the situation where you go to the your cardiologist, for example, and you pay him $200 a month to basically pay him to see how many times you need to see him every as many times you want for $200 a month. Oh yeah, no problem. That's concierge medicine. Well, I thought, well, for $100 a month, the consumer can go see the same doctor as many many times as he wants every month, and for $100 a month. I mean, some of the doctors were like, well, that's not enough money. We know because they're only getting se I get 30, they get 70. That's how the breakup is per month. So why don't I give you 50 more dollars and you can keep it for every patient to see you more than one time. They said, okay, that's fine. So they agreed to that. So now we're basically this is 4 years into the Standard Medical Co-op program, and then being I had to start out by myself again because of the COVID and everything else. So we're just launching this one. So everybody, the 38 million people that are out there that have no coverage at all, no healthcare at all, can do this program. And also, I've already talked to the heads of state of India, and they're interested in this program as well. The part of this program is also being go is in Canada right now. Which is basically the hospital part of it. So the hospital part of it costs $25 a month, and basically in Canada, for example, they have their own healthcare out there, but a lot of times they have to wait six up to 6 months or more to get a surgery. So my program, you get taken care of immediately. You don't have to wait. And so that's right now they got that program up there. That I don't have anything to do with that yet, but right now I'm just working on the United States, and then working on India. Those are the two primary ones I'm working on with this concierge concept.
I see. And this is being, you're actually marketing this strictly on the internet with a
Yeah,
website?
internet, and we yeah, and then we're what I'm trying to do is piggyback off other healthcare companies, or to have them help me with it, and some of the doctors. Right now, we have contracts working with 200 doctors in New York. We're trying to finalize to where they put it in their system, and to where they can upload their people to the system, and then they'll automatically have payments come into them every month, so they'll have revenue all the time. This will also defray to help the cost of the clinics that are going on the business, because the way that Obamacare put it together, the clinics were supposed to be self-sufficient, but you got to give them business. You got to physically give them business, and they weren't doing that. The way I wrote it was, you're supposed to be able to give them the business through the co-op, and then and allow them for the people in the area. So in other words, when I had the clinic here, I have people around the area. All the people in that area are supposed to pay the clinic. If they don't like that clinic, they can go to another clinic, but supposed to pay that clinic every month. And then all the people in every area has their own clinic. That's how I wrote it originally. And so, because they didn't do it that way, the clinics are defaulted, and a lot of them went out of business. And then the hospitals end up taking over the clinics to keep them going. So that was the so a lot of them went out of business. So that's the way it is. I mean, but for right now, though, I think this my national co-op program, or a standard medical co-op program, will replace eventually replace the insurance. Health insurance aspect around the globe. I mean, because the overcharging of fees, overcharging of everything, and then this also includes dental, eyes, chiropractor. I mean, anything to do with doctoring. I mean, and also we got some crazy stuff like sex change operations, to the sleeve if you're obese, or to the hair transplants. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of doctor you are. PTs, OTs, psychiatrists—they're all people that a lot of those don't have any insurance companies won't pay for it. In other words, my program is concierge medicine, so doctor-patient doesn't make a difference. There's no pre-existing problems, no
And
co-pays.
the docs like this because it's a steady income
Oh yeah, steady
every
income,
month.
and they get more revenue, and you get more people. I mean, I was talking to a psychiatrist the other day. I says, "Oh, how does it work?" He says, "Well, I charge $500 an hour." I says, "Yeah, but and not everybody can afford $500 an hour. So you have a select upper end people you're dealing with. My thing is more of a volume situation. You got more people, but then you got a situation problem with that. Then you got to look at, you need nurse practitioners to help out because there's not enough doctors. The 38 million people is a lot of people in the United States that have no coverage. There's not enough doctors out there, and so I need nurse practitioners to help out. I need chiropractors to help out. I need PAs to help out. I mean, these are the people who are just getting in. I need people from school to come to we get the people that are graduating college to come help us out, and they'll have an income coming in. These guys are going to college. They got $1 million debt. I mean, just coming out of college, some of these guys, and I mean, there's no money, and they have to find a job, and then the pay's only, X amount or Y amount, not enough money to support owing $1 million. So, but at least if they have an income coming in from this will help defray the cost, and they'll have an automatic income coming in. They don't have to do anything. Another problem is you have the urban areas, the places out in the boonies, the people that you can't get to.
Oh, the rural areas, kind of, actually.
You can't get a lot of those people. They go like, well, I mean, they have no doctors out there. The clinics are closed. I mean, so they have to drive 3.5, 4 hours just to see a doctor for 5 minutes and come back. I mean, I think 3.5, 4 hours on their way back. I mean, and then they won't do the virtual. So we're trying to get more. Do we're going to get more doctors out there, even if they have to work out of their homes. It doesn't matter, just to get people so they don't have to drive that far back and forth. So
Wow.
that's the biggest thing with the healthcare thing. That's a long story
Jeez.
short.
Is that so? Is this your latest, your big focus now? Is this healthsmc.com? Is
Yeah.
that where your heart is at?
That's where it's at. Yeah, that's the
Okay.
biggest thing. I started out. It's a 10-year process. It's going to take 10 years before we get it all finalized, I think. But eventually, it'll kick into where everybody uses it.
Good deal. So you're still involved in these other aspects, though, of business, the insurance and so on and so forth. Mortgage company as well in that too.
No, a mortgage company I did for 7 years, and that was back in the 90s. The
Okay.
real estate, I stopped doing that as well because I wasn't. I had 30. I was a broker for 30 plus years, and I decided I had enough of it. I wasn't doing enough, making enough money with it. The key factor is either have better people working for you that you can handle those sections, and then like do a Warren Buffett thing where they have a deal where he can go, they take care of it, and Warren doesn't have to worry about all that stuff. I mean,
Right.
or I was more hands on, so that's the difference. So I was actually doing all this stuff. And you can't really do well every, and you can't be in 16,000 places at one time. So it makes it very difficult to do. But the insurance is where my bread and butter has always been. I've always made a lot of money in the insurance business. I probably made over $20 million over the years that I've actually made with this programs with the between the commercial and then the auto. But yeah, right now my primary stuff is the SMC. I actually own a production company. We won't go into that. And
It's
then,
another story. Wow.
I promised Garris I wouldn't talk about TV and production because I'm in that area too. That's my hobby. Then we have the insurance, the commercial insurance, and then we have also I opened up years about 10 years ago I opened up a transportation business. When my business was kind of slow, I said, my mother said, why don't you do a transportation business for older people? I said, okay. So occasionally, maybe once or twice a week once or twice a week, I'll go ahead and take a person to the doctor. And so I go take a person to the doctor, and then and in between all that, and then one day it was another year that was interesting. I became an arbitrator for FINRA, and so I did that just as a joke. Okay, well, why don't do the arbitration for FINRA? So now I'm a judge. I was like,
Gee whiz.
I worked one case through Chase Bank, and it was interesting. I'm not saying I really enjoyed it, but I'm still an arbitrator for FINRA, so it's interesting how that works.
Wow.
I'm also a rep.
I tell myself, I tell people that I am a hopeless entrepreneur. That, I'm not looking for deliverance. I'm not looking to get cured. I just love business. And I think you are one also. An opportunity comes along and you're ready to jump, it seems. I suppose there's been some things that have come your way that perhaps you've said no to.
Yeah,
Am I right?
there's some things that, but I've always wanted to do. Just these people. I just something comes up. I want to do it. But like when I was younger, I'm a Jewish, so I came up with an idea of, well, why don't I become a rabbi one day? And guess what? I'm a rabbi.
Now you are a rabbi.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize I was doing the rabbi thing all my life because I've been doing services and I've been taking care of people and teaching Hebrew. And I said, and I went to this university out in Phoenix, and they said, "You're a rabbi." I said, "I am." I said, "Oh yeah, you were really here." I was like, "We're gonna ordain you and we're gonna get you all fixed up." I was like, "Really? Oh, okay." Because I've been doing all this stuff anyway, so I do weddings and. I can do a bar mitzvah if I want, but primarily just do weddings and services, that kind of thing. I call that my side thing. Like my production company, I can give this as my side thing. I said no to, has everything worked? No, nothing always works. I mean, you get into the investments and stuff like that. There's things that just don't work, they say they throw something at the wall and see if it sticks type thing. But
Sounds
yeah.
like me, I say that,
Nothing always works. Nothing's perfect. I mean, you gotta try certain things. I was a travel agent one time, just for kicks. Did it work? No. I mean, was it worth it? One time I used it. I was on a Delta airline flight, and they put me in the very back of the plane, and I had my wife and two kids. And I asked this the lady, I says, "Can you put me in a player place? I have this card." So I showed her the card. She says, "I'll be right back." And she brought me a first class ticket for all four of us. And so, like, because you're a travel agent, you get carte blanche. So that was the only time I actually did anything with with that thing. I didn't make any money with that. I mean, yeah, there is things that, my folks owned a hot dog joint in Chicago, on the Chicago.
Vienna hot dogs. Oh yeah.
I learned how to do the restaurant thing back then for 3 years, and then we moved to Dallas after that because it didn't work out. But then when I moved here to Dallas, I was only 21. I worked for 7-Eleven for a year, and I worked as night manager. And the manager gave me carte blanche to the whole store, so I learned how to be a manager from that by myself. I saw how my folks did it, but there was an easy business. 7-Eleven was a little more complicated because I had ordered the merchandise and I had to do all the management and the cleaning and the pricing, and then in the morning I had to make sure everything was stocked again twice and all that type of thing. But every day, but you're a night manager. You're there at 11 o'clock at night, and you leave at 7 o'clock in the morning. But I learned every aspect of management from that. And so that's kind of how I became. And another thing, I'm one of those guys who doesn't forget anything. I'm 60. I'll be 64 years old, and for some reason, I have one of these gifts where I can't forget nothing. I mean, nothing. I can't forget anything. I mean, everything you tell me, I remember. And also, the only way I keep this straight, now that's the biggest major question you should ask: how do you keep all this straight? Well, it's just my phone. On my phone, I have a calendar. And today I'll do arbitration today, and we'll do insurance today, and we'll do this, and then TV tomorrow. I mean, or I'll know exactly what I'm going to be doing on the phone, so I know how to do all that. So that's otherwise I couldn't keep the day straight. At least I know that for sure, because there's too much, I say, mishigas, too much craziness going on between that and that and the phone. So I can't, or whatever business I'm trying to do, or whatever deal I'm trying to make with an insurance person or whatever,
Phone goes down and you're in big trouble.
If I don't have a phone, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, man, oh man. Wow. Quite well rounded, I would say your career has been. I need to let you go here pretty quick, but in closing, with all of your experience, most sounds like has worked very well, some has not worked so well, some maybe hasn't worked at all, but somebody's watching this program thinking about what they want to do career-wise, maybe diversify or whatever the case may be. What would Dean tell that individual advice-wise, that just something quick that you can say, do this, don't do that, you know what I mean?
Well,
Advice.
basically, a person that you need focus on one thing in an insurance business, just focus on one thing. Do it well, continue on it, and then eventually, that's how I did the auto insurance. So you focus on the one thing, you do it well, and don't be afraid to do a different aspect of the insurance business as an example. Don't go over here, go over there like I did. Stay focused to one specific item. Hit that as hard as you can for at least a year. Then after that, you can add homeowners or whatever, as an example, other insurances to it, as far as that, as far as insurance goes.
I
Real
see.
estate, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's great.
So real estate wise, I would basically concentrate on most people that make the real big money do the listings. I was never a lister, so if you're in a real estate business, stay focused on just listing, and don't do anything else but listing. That's where the money is. And also the higher end houses, because back when I was doing it was a lot of smaller houses. I didn't make very much money. Probably the reason why I didn't do as well. But focus on listings, decent high size houses, 300,000 or above, and just stay focused on that. You'll make it real good there. Mortgage business. Mortgage business, stay focused on the trend, and because every mortgage company changes, the banks change every day. Where the money is in mortgage businesses is the high risk loans, because they have a higher buffer, so you make a lot more money on the higher end as far as mortgage business. Yeah, that's how you make the money. You don't make any money on these little small FHAs. You give you 0.5% commission or 1%. There's not that much money. So if you have a guy that's had a credit problem, you're best to try to help him, because you make 3, 4, or 5% of the value of the property, just on or the loan, excuse me, of the loan. A value of property is based on real estate. The loan is based on the mortgage. So those are the top as far as those three main ones.
Good point. On the mortgage thing, going after the high risk loans. So let's say 6 months, a year or so, the buyer defaults. That is no reflection on you. You have no liability in that situation. That's between them and the whoever's funding this project, correct?
Correct. Yeah, but
Yeah.
there was one that one problem happened one time. A friend of mine, he got in with the wrong people with the mortgage company. He said, "Well, I'll do this loan, but you're responsible for it if he defaults within the first 6 months." And it was a big loan. It was like well over a million plus at that time, and he defaulted,
Ooh, oops.
and they came after the broker.
Shoot.
So the key is don't go to a lender like that.
Yeah.
Stay away from a lender like that. You do not want to go to a lender like that.
Right.
Most lenders are not like that. I mean, they just, you basically, if they defaults, they default. I mean, the bank takes it over and they resell the property. I mean, that's as
Yeah.
simple as that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because in that scenario, you're just the middleman. You just made the introductions, really. So, I mean, you don't have any skin in the game or anything like that. So to hold you liable is kind of a it's dangerous
Yeah,
and
no, that
really.
only happened once to a friend of mine, and unfortunately, he had to figure out how to get around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this, and now in final here, the healthsmc.com is a going concern. People can go on that website and sign up.
Yes.
But it's kind of geographically limited currently. If they live out, like you were saying, the urban area, the rural area, maybe there's nobody out there, then they would still have to drive into wherever somebody on your program is located, correct?
Right now, yes. Now, there's three main programs. I'll go over real quick. The Clever program is just a download an app, in the and they can go to it on the app. You talk to a doctor for $25. The app is
Okay.
free. There's nothing per month. So it's $25 to use the app. So basically, anywhere in the United States, you can pick up the phone and call a doctor and take care of it through that app. And it's zero per month. All right. And then also there's also an RX factor on there for the medical. So for the meds, you can get a discount for the meds on that program. Program two is only in Texas right now, which is the hospitalization. So basically, anybody in Texas can use that program. Right, anybody in Texas can go to any hospital. Which basically what they do is for $25 a month, you call the number that they give you on the first. So you sign up today. Today's the first. So they send you an email saying, okay, here's your phone number. You get back, you have new surgery or X-rays, whatever. You call the number. They'll negotiate the terms and conditions with the hospital to keep it cheaper. So in other words, if you make no money, you don't pay nothing. I mean, so that's kind of how that works on that one. The SMC, we're still building that, so it's going to take a while before we get all the doctor patient situation. But I'm thinking, next 4 to 10 years, we'll have a full measure of doctors, and then little by little, each state will get their doctors in place so they can do the doctor patient thing and save people thousands and thousands of dollars to go to the doctor and help, and take care of
Awesome.
themselves.
Yeah, cool. That's really cool. So you said you're 64, was it?
I'll be 64 in April. Yeah.
Okay. And how many guys that have accomplished as much as you have and are your age are still pumping, are still out there hustling? You're a unique individual because of that. I think most people with your accomplishment and so on, and age, you're just, sitting back clipping coupons or something, cashing in your IRA or whatever the case may be. So kudos to you that you're still out there doing the thing that you love to do.
Appreciate it.
And I imagine that your philosophy might be you're gonna work till you're tired and play till you're bored, right?
Yep.
And I think that's great for us older timers. That's a good philosophy of life. In fact, that's great philosophy for anybody that can afford to live that way. That's really great.
Oh, yeah.
Dean, I have appreciated the time with you
Me as
and
well.
the insights that you brought to the table here and onto the program. I like the focus factors that you talked about regarding, focus on one thing, insurance, real estate, focus on listings instead of just trying to be all things to everybody. That's true. You get the listing, somebody sells the house, you're gonna get paid for it. You haven't done anything since you picked up the listing. And then the mortgage deal, the mortgage business, focus on the trend. That's always changing. So you've got to be flexible with that, don't you?
Yep, that's right.
So anyway, are you open to somebody giving you an email or a call and say, what do you think of this? Are you
Oh
open
yeah,
to,
absolutely. I'm look I'm looking yeah, I'm looking for people that healthcare companies to to take my healthcare program out there. I mean, Obamacare is government run, so the government takes care of all themselves. But we need healthcare companies to grab onto our program and allow them with the doctors to help us build the program, and that's what we need. And that's what that'll start really getting it out there.
Well, and I think government to independent business, I think you're going to be a lot more efficient than what the government can ever do. There's just too much bureaucracy and all this other stuff. So
Yeah.
kudos to you for coming up with that idea, and may it work out. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can either call my, which can I give my phone number or
You
just
bet. Sure, anything.
okay. It's 214-280-5626. And then
Okay.
that's my phone. They can always call me or text me there, or they can basically info at healthcaresmc.com.
Okay.
Info at healthcaresmc.com.
Got it.
And then, of course, the website is healthcaresmc.com. So,
Good deal. All right.
okay.
Well, yeah, I think I've taken enough of your time. Thank you for your patience to get us hooked up here and figuring out what I
My
was doing
pleasure.
wrong.
Appreciate it.
So it was a fun call and enjoyed it. If I can be of service to you or to anything that you're doing as far as sales training, business, individual coaching, that's what I do.
Okay,
So
cool.
we can shut this off now. But folks, here you have it from one diversified individual from Dallas, Texas. This guy is 64 years old and he has not stopped. He might even be running faster than he did when he was 34. Who knows? Only he knows, and his wife and his family. But anyway, folks, I appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our chit chat, our conversation, and hope it was informative to you. As Dean said, if you've got any questions for him, give him a call, 214-280-5626, or a text, or go to his website, healthsmc.com, and
Healthcare,
make
healthcare.
healthcare, make some contact with him that way. So anyway, till the next time, if there's anything I can do for you, audience, Russ, RST Coaching Academy, phone number 386-286-2450. Don't hesitate to contact me. We're at your service. Both of us are.
Thank
So
you, Russ.
until next time, over and out. Thank you very much.
Take care, everybody.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.